ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're going to read the last verse of chapter 24, canto 3. Text number 47. For those of you that are with us without... just to give a little background on how the chapter begins and how it's ending here. You know, the storyline. Well, by nature, Puranas, they're explaining the Shrutis in the form of narration of histories. And naturally, the histories in the Bhagavatam are focused on Bhagavan. So that one can understand the Shrutis, the story of Kardama Muni going back and back and back many chapters, Canto 3, one of the direct sons of Lord Brahma, so this is at the very beginning of creation, and Kardama Muni was requested by his father, please assist me. I've created this universe, I need to fill up the universe with good population, and as obedient son and pure devotee, his answer was yes, so he went to the forest to qualify himself to produce good praja, and he was absorbed in meditation upon the personality of Godhead, because it wasn't just tapasya, but it was pleasing the personality of Godhead. And Kardama Muni had a particular rasa, or relationship with the personality of Godhead. Interestingly, parental. He wanted, as one of the good offspring, the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord appeared in the middle of a forest and beginning stages of Satya Yuga, when there wasn't really anything and not too much of anybody either. There was just the beginning stages of creation. So in any way, fast forward, the personality of Godhead appeared, Lord Vishnu, standing on the back of Garuda. Kardama offered his prayers. Lord Vishnu said, I'll appear as your son. I know your heart. You'll require a qualified wife. And guess what? A real easy matrimonial arrangement. In 2 days, she's going to come here and just say yes. It's really easy. Not always so easy. And Devahuti came, and a commitment was made to accept her in marriage, because it was her desire to marry him. She had heard about him from Narada Muni, so she had given her heart to him. He said yes on a condition that when there is a qualified son, then I wish to depart and enter the vanaprastha stage of life. That's standard Vedic procedure. Devahuti's father, Swayambhuva Manu, he consented. They married right in the forest. Tens of thousands of years of living together passed, living the life of a brahmana, and his wife, although she was from a royal family, used to all comforts, she was very happy just having next to nothing as far as comforts are concerned, but just being in the service of her exalted, qualified husband. Perfect, chaste lady. And her desire, as was his desire, that they would have children, and recognizing that, he made an arrangement. Without even saying a mantra, he just so desired, and a whole city, a flying city, manifested. And there were attendants waiting for her to dress her finely, and etc., etc., etc. And they traveled all over the universe doing some sightseeing. And after some time came back, and 9 daughters were produced. During her pregnancy, after those 9 daughters were produced, Lord Brahma came, Brahma being the father of her father and the father of Kardama Muni, along with Narada Muni and Lord Shiva and all kinds of sages and personalities. And the 9 daughters, at Lord Brahma's instruction, were given to others to help fill up the universe with good. So they became Prajapatis, and these were their wives. And that's discussed in the 4th canto, who married whom and what happened after that. And Lord Brahma confirmed what Kardama Muni already knew, that within the womb of Devahuti is a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after some time, Kapila was born. After Kapila grew up in a secluded place, this is now the beginning of this chapter 24, Kardama Muni approached his son, knowing his son to be Lord Vishnu, Bhagavan, requesting permission, blessings, to enter into the Vranaprastha stage of life. We discussed all of these things. It's just, so rather than like, what's the, it's a mystery. And why did he go to the forest to meditate on Lord Vishnu when he knew that Lord Vishnu was right there in front of him? We won't go there. It's a simple answer. But so with blessings of Kapila Dev, indicating you will achieve perfection, which in all purposes he had already achieved, pure devotion and perfection in the rasa of parental affection, fully realized, perfect in knowledge, perfect in every way. So he's now, Kardama Muni has gone back, left his ashram. Devahuti is still in the ashram with her son, Lord Kapila Dev, and that's how chapter 25 begins. Those two have some discussion. But Kardama Muni is, so it's describing not in slow motion, but elements of what the stage of perfection looks like. What was his experience? How did he get there? So, like in Bhagavad Gita, when in the chapter 14, where Krishna is describing the modes of nature, and says, everyone's influenced by the modes of nature. And there are some rare exceptions, people that are transcendentalists. So then Arjuna naturally asks, what does it look like? And most importantly, how do they get there? So there's just a few verses that answer those questions. Here is expanded in the Bhagavatam, not just speaking a principle, but showing by example. That's the Puranic presentation, Kardama Muni's perfection. And then towards the end of this canto, we hear in slow motion how Devahuti similarly achieved perfection. Now she's already perfect, but following the instructions of Lord Kapila meticulously, in detail, slow motion, step by step, by step, and slowly, slowly, how she achieves what her husband achieved. She achieved by the mercy of her husband, imagine serving a perfect person for tens of thousands of years, something happens. And so now she's following Kapila Dev's instructions, and her perfection is detailed. So this last verse is just a summarization of that stage of perfection. Some of the features, like, you know, how do you recognize a self-realized soul? It's another question in Bhagavad Gita. How does one walk? How does one sit? How does one act? How does one speak? What are the symptoms of a self-realized soul? So we're hearing. Same. The final text begins with a phrase that's very similar to a phrase that's in Bhagavad Gita. Icha Dvesha Vihinena Sarvatrasama Chetasa Bhagavad Bhakti Yuktena Prapta Bhagavati Gati. Freed from all hatred and desire, Kardamuni, being equal to everyone, because of discharging uncontaminated devotional service, ultimately attained the path back to Godhead. So it doesn't detail, you know, the path back to Godhead, but he went back to Godhead because, as the previous verses describe, his mind was completely absorbed in the personality of Godhead. And when, as we read yesterday evening, at the Bhakti Vriksha gathering from chapter 8, when the mind is absorbed in the personality of Godhead, that's where you go. Back to Godhead. And whenever the mind is absorbed in, that's where you go. So what your mind is absorbed in is really important. And how does that happen? It's Bhakti Yogena. By discharging uncontaminated devotional service. So, in discharging uncontaminated devotional service, it does not mean that you have to do the pratyahara program, which is you withdraw the extending of consciousness through the senses into the field of activity, the objects of the senses. In bhakti, we extend the senses into the field of the senses in service to Krishna. And squeaky clean, not otherwise. Not a mix of I like, Krishna likes, so we'll, you know, it's authorized. I'm doing stuff that it's in the clean category and I'm enjoying. Or at least I think I'm enjoying, you know, fruitive activities. So, to achieve pure bhakti, one need not do the pratyahara program. One need not become a sannyasi. One need not karma sannyas. One needs to do karma palatyag, and that's extending consciousness into the field of the sense objects with the purpose, very important word, purpose or intention, sankalpa, that Krishna should be pleased. And a life that's dedicated in that way, anukulyena, Krishna anushilanam, that's uttam bhakti. That's the topmost. Now, in his case, Kardamuni has opted to go to the forest. And the explanation is to show by example. He didn't need to go to the forest. He was already on the platform of perfection. But yadyadacharati shrestas tatareve tarorjana. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever the shrestha personalities do, the evetara, the people in general, they follow. So he's setting an example. And he went back to Godhead. Now, there's different ways to go back to Godhead. But an essential element is the mind is fixed upon the personality of Godhead. So, mind fixed, senses engaged, intelligence absorbed. We had this nice discussion. Young girl asked the question, is she here today? No. Nice question about what's the distinction between the mind and the intelligence. I mean, you won't find anything about that in Western philosophy. They won't even find the distinction between the mind and the soul. What to speak of between the mind and the intelligence and the soul. Metaphysics just doesn't have it. You won't find it. But the Bhagavatam, it's there, and then there's some illustrations of how they work. They work together when things are in proper order. So I won't repeat from yesterday evening. It's a nice discussion. Important to understand the distinction. But the intelligence, so the language of that we read last night, 8:7, and the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, where the stage of perfection of the worshipper of Krishna is these two things. Mind, absorbed in me. Intelligence, fully engaged in me. So intelligence gives direction when things are in proper order. Intelligence gives direction to the mind, which gives direction to the senses, which then interacts with objects. That's when things are in proper order. So the intelligence has to be operative and direction-giving, discriminating between this and that, and then direction-giving, and then direction goes to the mind. My dear mind, don't go there. My dear mind, go there. We're just hearing Prabhupada give this explanation about training. So people that are unregulated, they need rules. But he was speaking to devotees, it was in Rome, and in Rome, there's many liquor shops. But you're not interested, you don't contemplate, should I go to the liquor shop? It's not an option. It's just because the intelligence is direction giving, the mind doesn't even contemplate it. It has nothing to do with service to Krishna. It has something to do with forgetting one's relationship with Krishna. So the mind doesn't even go there. It's as if it doesn't exist. It exists for some people because the mind contemplates enjoying in different ways in the modes of nature. Or then he gave another example. There are butcher shops and slaughterhouses, and for the devotee, the mind doesn't go there. Because the intelligence is direction giving. The intelligence that comes from Krishna is how to reach him. Madgatena antaratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamomataha. Or didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyantite. Yena mam upiyantite. How to come to him. Intelligence does that. So, Karamuni is in the forest, and the form of his activity matches the yuga, and it matches the example setter for the Satya Yuga, perfect soul. Prabhupada's example was different. Madhvacharya's example was different. You know, they didn't go into seclusion, they engaged in right up to the final breath. Very, very nice description in the biography of Madhvacharya. His parting from the world, the scene was he was on a veranda speaking as he always did about Dvaita, and he was doing his Pancha Veda exposition. This is the biography of his life, speaks like this. And his two fingers are in the air, like we see photos or paintings of him. And right in the middle of the discourse, shower of flowers came from the sky and completely covered his body. And he didn't hear any sound anymore. And after some time, they removed the flowers and his body was gone. That's not a Vishnu Tattva personality, that's a Jiva Tattva personality. Or in Leelamrita, Prabhupada was, the devotees were attempting in any way they could think of to persuade Prabhupada to not depart. So one very intelligent devotee, Tamal Krishnamurti, said, "Prabhupada, you're like Arjuna, you will die in the battlefield. Let's go to the west. Your devotees are so much eager to get your association. Well, his body's emaciated. But, you know, he's departing, and, you know, so instead of departing, whatever life energy you have, die in the battlefield." Prabhupada said, "Yes, arrange the visas immediately. Let's go." So that was his spirit. It wasn't the go to the forest and Pratyahara. Now, Bhishma Dev did the Pratyahara program, but right up to that, the sun moving in the northerly direction, he was engaged in serving the Vaishnavas, serving his grandchildren, the Pandavas, explaining, giving this wonderful Bhagavatam class to Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers about how to perform the duties of a king, etc., etc., because that was the question presented by Maharaj Yudhisthira. So the stage of perfection, point is, it may look different. And it's not like this is right and therefore that's wrong. Or that's right and therefore this must be wrong. There are principles that are involved that we should, by become knowledgeable in the scriptures, get the big picture. And what's important is where the mind is. And there are different methods to get the mind there. So now let's hear the purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can one understand the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. And after understanding him perfectly, in his transcendental position, enter into the kingdom of God. The process of entering into the kingdom of God is Tripada Bhuti Gati, which isn't in the purport, which isn't in the verse, or the path back home, back to Godhead, by which one can attain the ultimate goal of life. Kardama Muni, by his perfect devotional knowledge and service, achieve this ultimate goal, which is known as Bhagavati Gati. So that's in the verse. Bhagavati. So in relation to Bhagavan, he achieved the Gati, or the destination, the goal of being situated in the spiritual world. No merging being spoken about here. In the previous two purports, Prabhupada jumps on that one. His fixing his mind on Supersoul doesn't mean he became Supersoul. He didn't merge Sayuja Mukti, forget it. That's a wrong understanding, and you know, strongly, Prabhupada emphasizes this. So, rather, bhakti. And bhakti, very simply, bhakti requires the servitor and the served. And you do the math, and that's two. It's not one. So the individuality is maintained, but the oneness is the oneness of the will of the Supreme, or the Master, and so the will of the servitor is to please or fulfill the will of the Supreme. with love and service and devotion. And in that way, the mind can be fixed in the personality of Godhead. That's the path of perfection. And one last thing. Sometimes there's this question. Maybe you've asked the question yourself. If there's really just one thing, then why didn't Krishna make it simple and just say one thing? Because it seems like there's a lot of options out there. And people take this option, that option, the other option. And then they say, you know, there's more than one thing. But, it, you know, yatama tatupat. There's many paths and they all lead to Rome. They all lead to one thing. And the one thing is, everybody knows what that one thing is oneness. That's the goal. Become one with the Supreme. Or go to the heavenly planets and there's nothing more than this. Or whatever are the varieties of ideas that are out there. Why did, a common one, why did Buddha's an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, why did he teach atheism? He taught atheism. Why did he? He's the personality of Godhead. Or Lord Shiva, why did he teach impersonalism? Covered Buddhism. He's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Why did he do that? And Vyasadeva is the author of the Vedas. Why did he include things that take people over there and over there and over there instead of just one thing? And part of the answer is different ways of answering that, but the Supreme Lord is very kind. And part of his kindness is he knows that people aren't going to just surrender unto him. That's why we're in the material world. Dvesha. Now this verse is saying Icha Dvesha. That is Kardamuni overcame Dvesha. He overcame Icha and Dvesha. He was in this neutral space, but his neutral space was I don't care about anything. He cared about the personality of Godhead, but attraction and repulsion from sense objects, but some people aren't there. Or they think, you know, that's it. Just become neutral. Nirvana. Shanti. And there's nothing more. So to help people go to the next level, there are these varieties of things. There's more to say, but in simple terms. For the purpose of gradual elevation, just like in the 12th chapter, if you can't do this, then you do that. If you can't do that, do that one. If you can't do that, do that one. If you can't do that, do that one. And one who faithfully follows, then one may, of course one may not, but one may come to the stage of perfection. Bhuvanam jamanamante gyanavan mam prapadyate. If you come to Vasudev sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Surrender to him. But, you know, due to dvesha, people don't want to take that. No, Krishna is everything. So then, okay, then, so for gradual purification, at least in the modes of nature, different things are presented. That's the purpose. And then this strong statement from the Bhagavatam, if you take one of those things, but it doesn't eventually lead to Vishwakshena Kata Ruchi, to attraction for the topics of the personality of Godhead, Shama Evahi Kevalam. Waste of time, meaning in terms of the ultimate purpose of life, you won't attain it. So you've misused your time and your good effort. Now, it's not a misuse in terms of gradual elevation, you know, making the wet wood into dry wood so it can ignite. But if the wood doesn't ignite it, the purpose is to have the wood ignite. What have you achieved? Okay, so you have some dry wood. Well, later you can ignite it. Maybe it'll get wet again. And aversion to the personality of Godhead, or say it lighter, not taking shelter of the personality of Godhead consciously, but thinking, this is it. Now, where does that faith come to say, this is it, or that's it? The goal is attain the heavenly planets, and there's nothing more. There's a lot of people out there that are religious that think there's nothing more. Krishna says it, and it's true. There's nothing more. The Ferris wheel is, that's all there is. You're down here, and you get on the Ferris wheel, and you, in stages, you go up, 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 up. And then your pious activities become exhausted. You go down, 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 down. And then you take birth again, and then you do some more pious activities, and go up, 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 and then down, 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 down. And that's all there is. There's nothing more. There's lots of conceptions that are misplaced. And it's good fortune, great fortune, that someone can understand what the purpose of the Vedas is. Not the Ferris wheel. Not so many knots. Not entering into nothingness. Not becoming one with the Brahman. Those things, there may be some indication of those things for purpose of making the wet wood into dry wood. But the final purpose should be known. And Bhagavatam makes it very clear. Bhagavad Gita also makes it very clear, but somehow people twist it so it's unrecognizable. That's a great disservice. Great misfortune. It's a disaster, a spiritual disaster. So that ends the chapter. Karmuni went back to Godhead. And then coming attractions is Devahuti is back at the ashram wondering what's next. I'm attached, and I'm stuck in that attachment position. Please help me, my dear son, the personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila.